does have it all. All of our pre-owned vehicles are Hubler Q certified, which include a 128-point vehicle inspection, a free Carfax vehicle history report, and two warranties. A two-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty, and a 30-day, 1,000-mile comprehensive warranty. Visit any of our 13 locations today, or click drivehubler.com. Hubler has it
all. All right, so we're going to do this. It's a Thursday today. We have two solid weeks before the NFL draft, and what that means as well is we have 10 shows until the NFL draft. So we picked 10 players, and of course, yesterday we had some fun with it if they end up not taking any of the 10 players that we throw your way. But we have 10 players here that we're going to go through one each day from today, and then obviously a couple weeks from now when it's the start of the NFL draft, and we're going to highlight one player. If we think ultimately Chris Ballard and the Colts will take them, the biggest threats, some mock draft updates as well. Today, our first one is going to be Brock Bowers. So let's hit the open. Colts on the clock here on the Wake Up Call.
The Colts are on the clock.
All right, so it's going to be a mix. This is obviously the only tight end, KB, that we're going to have on our list is Brock Bowers. Now, I did find interesting, and again, a lot of mock drafts do have Brock Bowers going before number 15. I found this interesting. So today, Matt Miller, who both of us like a lot at ESPN, kind of the
Mark,
the
new we need to get him on before the draft.
The new McShay almost.
Dave Brugler tomorrow, by the way.
Yeah, Brugler's fantastic, has the beast up on The Athletic, and I just found this interesting to start the conversation. This went up this morning on ESPN.com, and the question was, what are we hearing about each team in the draft, specifically the first round? And for the Colts, I found this interesting. I'm going to read this to you, okay? This is from Matt Miller. He says, cornerback stands out as one of the Colts' biggest needs and realistic targets at number 15. As long as Brock Bowers is off the board. One source with a rival team believes the Colts would quote, run the card in if Bowers was available. And then goes on to talk about the cornerback position, Terrion Arnold, Quinyon Mitchell, guys that we'll talk about here in the next week and a half or so. But what do you make of that? And then I think both of us, both of us love Brock Bowers and really think Shane Steichen would do something pretty damn good with him.
Absolute stud. Stud in the SEC means even more. I mean, he's dominated in that conference from day one. Remember how good he was as a freshman? Like, and it's not like this is some overwhelming physique at tight end. You know, honestly, I don't think he would meet a lot of Chris Ballard's desired criteria from a height and weight standpoint at tight end. He's not the power forward, but just as a versatile tight end weapon, Shane Steichen has to be foaming at the mouth of such an idea. You know, again, that versatile tight end, I think, is something that I should stress even more because, you know, oftentimes, Andy, if you bring a tight end on the field, oh, he's our blocker. Oh, he's our receiver. But guys that can do both, that leads to unpredictable things. The defense, you aren't tipping your hand necessarily to the defense. And if you look at Bowers at Georgia, he lined up all over the field. Hell, they gave him the football like as a running back in jet sweeps and things like that quite often. So, again, absolute stud. The questions I would have would be, does he get to 15? Do you feel like it's just a hair too rich positional value?
Right.
That's
right.
Never been a Ballard thing, really. I mean, just look across the board how he's drafted. I'll take a guard at 6. You know, I'll take a running back in round 2. So, I don't think it would be, but you know, go back to the tight end question that you asked him at the combine, Andy. You know, you can listen to his answer about his tight end room, and he sounds pretty pleased with it and believes that you just got to let it grow. And then also he can acknowledge in that answer, we maybe don't have a dominant number one. So is drafting 4 tight ends in the last 3 years, which is what they've done, does that lead to any hesitancy?
Well, and then
and is it too much of a luxury pick, I guess, would be the question.
Yeah, I think that's the question. We'll give our scale here in a second if we think he's actually going to end up with the Colts. Ballard has, I think out of, maybe you would disagree with this, but I feel like out of all of the positions that you could disagree with Chris Ballard on, do you think that tight end, now corner might be one, and that's probably where they go in round number 1, you easily could make, they could even go out and get somebody else, right, in free agency. They could still build that room up. I feel like the biggest disconnect between potentially fan base and Ballard might be in that tight end room. And a lot of that goes back to guys that they've drafted look fine, but they only look fine. And, you know, last year, the storyline, and rightfully so, was we didn't get to see any of Anthony Richardson, or very much of Anthony Richardson. You didn't get to see any of Jelani Woods. And so if Jelani Woods had, you know, 59 catches or something in Shane Steichen's system, and you saw some glimpses in how Steichen could use him, and he had 4, 5, 6 touchdowns or whatever, I think you would look at Jelani Woods and say, boy, a year under his belt with Steichen, get him even a little bit healthier, and this is going to be one of our guys. And then the other complimentary tight ends, Will Mallory, Granson, et cetera, if Mo Alie-Cox ends up still being on the roster next year, you could fill those guys in more of the, you know, if you think Mo Alie-Cox, a blocking tight end, like you would kind of pigeonhole him as that, then you would feel much better. But much like Anthony Richardson, we didn't get to see any of Jelani Woods. So I don't know if Jelani Woods is an NFL player.
It's one of the bigger bummers from last season, because at the end of the Jeff Saturday era, that was one of the few individual bright spots that you were, oh, wow, remember that game against the Steelers in prime time? He was great. And then you just didn't see much after that. Let me throw this your way. Andy, we did this back in January when we got to the Final Four in the NFL. There was no denying you had stud tight ends everywhere. You had George Kittle. You had Travis Kelce. You had Mark Andrews, you had Sam Laporta. Now, where were those guys drafted? Kelce,
right,
round 3. Andrews, round 3.
Boy, Kittle was even
Kittle,
further.
Round 5.
Yeah.
Sam Laporta was a round 2 guy, and early in round 2, but still, that's not 15 overall. Should there be the general, you should wait on tight ends? And there are other tight ends you can point to that were taken in round 1 that haven't lived up to it.
Well, Eric Ebron, Cole Kmet was taken. I mean, he's been okay. Mark, you would say?
I mean, you would say as of now, Kyle Pitts hasn't lived up to that pick.
Sure.
Granted, the quarterback play hasn't been great. I would say TJ Hockenson's been a nice player. I don't think he's been whatever he was drafted at. So you have some of those. Is there hesitancy there of just, man, 15, it'd be nice, but he's a tight end?
I guess my thing is...
And is he just a tight end, I guess, is probably another question.
To me, it's not even 15. The way I look at this is if a playoff-level team is going to end up taking him at 22 or 23 or 25 or whatever it may be, I'm fine with taking that guy at 15. Like, that's how I view it. Now, you know, if it's like the Raiders a couple years ago, I remember Mel Kiper's like, they took a safety. Remember, the Raiders took a safety like 4 or 5 years ago. Then Mel Kiper's like, I had a 4th-round grade on him, and he ended up going really high.
That's most Raiders picks.
Yeah, but if it was that, it would be different. So to me, I don't overreact, and I would even add to it, every comparison that you see on these draft websites, or the majority of them, I'm trying to find one that doesn't say George Kittle. I mean, all the comparisons to Brock Bowers are George Kittle. And
correct.
I would even say this. Bowers probably is not going to be, you know, the nasty blocker that Kittle. I mean, Kittle.
But he's known as a guy that can more than hold his own.
But Bowers, you mentioned like a jet sweep. You can do, I think you might do even different things on offense, well, quite frankly, than you can with Kittle.
Go back to the Chris Ballard comment that I absolutely loved at the Combine. We need to get more yards after catch. Who was the number one tight end in the NFL in yards after catch this year? It was Kittle. Look at Bowers after the catch. I mean, it is.
It's a great point.
At times, Andy, it's a man amongst boys in the SEC. And again, he's 6'3 and 240. It's not like this is some 6'7. He's not Jelani Woods.
Yeah, Jelani Woods is 6'7, 253. That's what he's listed as.
So that's always been fascinating to me with Bowers. Teams to watch ahead of the Colts. Teams that would worry you about plucking Bowers off the
board. Yeah, I mean, I think you have to look at the Jets at 10. I listen, I know a lot of people have talked about the Chargers. I think the Chargers at 5, I don't know, don't you feel like they're going to... Boy, their roster just needs so much. Don't you feel like they trade back and get assets so somebody can move up for one of these quarterbacks?
They need some O-line help, too.
Yeah, so I just kind of think the Chargers don't go tight end there. Offensive line, you mentioned. I just don't see the Giants or, of course, the Titans or Kyle Pitts is there.
What about Tennessee, though? I mean, they need O-line help, but, I mean, could you imagine? Ridley, okay, Hopkins, so Bowers, Tony Pollard, Bowers, and Bowers for Will Levis.
Bowers came out. Remember, we played the sound.
He wants Nashville, right?
In the middle of the season, we played the sound of him saying, yeah, it wouldn't be so bad to be drafted in Nashville by the Tennessee Titans.
More behaved than Morgan Wallen in Nashville?
Boy, did you see that video?
Okay.
There's video of that of the chair going out.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
And like, it's not like he tosses it. Yeah, like, forcibly throws
a chair.
Frankly,
a miracle he didn't hurt anybody.
He needs to be in trouble on that one. I would say my number one
Chuck
team.
Chuck Pagano's waiting for him in an alley.
Boy, I know who I'm taking in that fight. I'd go number 10. I'd go the New York Jets.
Yeah, Jets.
Jets would be at the top of my list of teams that would take Bowers. And I don't know who would be second on that list, potentially.
Jets was kind of a clear one for me. Drew points this out. You know, you guys aren't wrong about tight ends. So many have struggled early, but it seems like they did so either on bad teams or bad schemes. I don't have that concern in Indy. I think that's a very real comment.
Well, I feel that way about Pitts. I mean, we're going to find out here pretty soon.
And Raheem Morris has said that about their quarterback play in Atlanta. But yes, I would have zero concern about Shane Steichen making sure Brock Bowers was heavily, heavily involved. 1 to 10 scale, realistic pick for the Colts at 15, I'd say 4.5.
Yeah.
And 95% of that has to do with him being there at 15.
Yeah.
I don't see it.
Yeah, I'm a 5 on this one. I've already went through on some of the prospects, and I've, you know, kind of initially said, this is a 2 or a 3, or this is, you know, a 7 or an 8. I could see this happening. This is a 5, and it's a 5 for me. I'm lukewarm for a couple reasons, and we've talked about them. A, does he get there to number 15? I would even say 3 reasons. B, this is not a guy you would ever feel like if Ballard were to move up a couple spots, this would not be the type of position that he would ever do it. And then C, we've talked about it. He spoke pretty highly, maybe higher than what we think of his tight end room. You know, Ballard's words, whether it be with us or in various different press conferences, what he has said about his tight end room is not totally the way that the fan base thinks of that same room.
That's why it's a 3 for me, because I just feel like even if he's there, like the amount of things that have to happen for him to even be at 15, and then for the Colts to use that pick on him, I just feel is highly unlikely.
I'm a little torn on that. I understand where you guys are coming from, but I do think this is unique. I mean, I do think this would be an outlier, and like, I mean, can you really bank on another whatever out of Mo Alley Cox? Can you really bank? I mean, what's Drew Ogletree's situation?
I know.
He's still on the exempt list.
I know.
Is he going to be a Colt? Is he not going to be a Colt?
I can't imagine he would
be. So those are just some questions that I have.